I'm very much worried about homelessness at this age, of being homeless.
A couple of weeks ago, I interviewed 69-year-old Maria Elena Ang, who was facing sudden eviction from a boarding house in Marrickville, her home for the past 22 years. Maria's story isn't unusual. Boarders don't have the same rights as other tenants in the private rental market. If you live in a boarding house, you can be evicted with as little as 1 week's notice, and the premises are often poorly maintained and unsafe. Many boarding house residents are just one step away from living on the street, making it difficult for them to challenge their landlords, as Jemima Mowbray from the New South Wales Tenants Union explains.
In practice, what we see is residents who don't feel empowered to actually say, hey, that's not right, and know the reality of the power relationship here is that they're going to be turfed and they just have to go and find somewhere else to live.
In Sydney's inner west, boarding houses are under the spotlight after a fire in March in one such premise in Newtown led to the death of three of its residents. In response, the Inner West Council undertook an audit of boarding houses, paying particular attention to safety issues. The council has also asked the state government for an urgent review of the management and regulation of boarding houses and for more investment in social and affordable housing. No one from council was available to be interviewed, but in a lengthy response to our questions, council told us that as part of that audit, its fire safety specialists inspected the premises where Maria was living. They identified that the building was not an authorised boarding house and didn't meet an appropriate fire safety standard. Council notified the owner and ordered that the use of the building was to cease unless the fire safety objectives were achieved. The owner chose to evict the tenants and sell the building. Councils know there is a delicate balance between making orders like these to keep boarding house residents safe and losing affordable housing when boarding house operators decide to sell. This is all happening at the same time as Sydney's historically high rental prices are putting pressure on all levels of rental accommodation. Jemima Mowbray again.
It's certainly the case that a much broader group of people have been moving into boarding houses and relying on this kind of much smaller shared facilities, one bedroom kind of situation because of the affordability pressures that are on and the fact that there is no other affordable housing option out there for them.
Some helpful changes may be on the way. New South Wales Boarding Houses Act was introduced in 2012. It was the first time New South Wales had any real protections for people living in boarding houses. For the past couple of years, the Act has been under review. In 2020, the state government announced it was broadening the Act to cover a wider range of tenants, including all shared accommodation from boarding houses, co-living premises, student accommodation, and private lodging. Jemima Mowbray explains why the current Act needs to change.
There are still a whole lot of people who didn't have access to any protection at all. So, they couldn't go to tribunal, and if they needed to challenge something or if they were being evicted unfairly, they just didn't really have any recourse at all. So making sure that the really specific kinds of definitions that were in the Boarding House Act could be opened up and unpacked and work out how can we actually make sure that this Act can provide protection for more people, for anybody who doesn't have protection. And also then the other part of that and what you're pointing to was that the protections that were there in the Boarding House Act weren't strong enough. So things like termination protections and the process of termination, we were seeing people who just didn't feel empowered but then also really have the protections in place to be able to challenge some of the evictions that they were getting. Things like, the holding fees that were being collected.
And when you say you'd like to see, a wider range of people protected, what kinds of groups are we talking about? Are we talking about people who might be on a lease that someone else has signed, but they're sharing the accommodation, or are they also a specific boarding house type residents who weren't covered for some reason?
That's right. There's actually a broader range of people in boarding houses that might not fall under the quite specific definition that was used or that's being used currently in the Boarding Houses Act, and that's that you have a boarding house with, you know, at least with around 5 beds in the house, and you actually have a whole lot of housing arrangements where you might not have that number. So you might be a boarder or a lodger, but not be actually in the a registrable boarding house. Mm-hmm. And then you captured a really big share of people who also don't have protection, which is where you're in a share house, but you haven't got a written agreement with the head tenant. Mm-hmm. So somebody's leasing from somebody else and you're not on the lease and you haven't got a written agreement. The intention of government and the intention of the drafters is to make sure as many people in a situation where you're sharing accommodation are covered under the Act.
And as it stands, am I right in thinking that if you're covered by the Boarding House Act, you in a way, you can be evicted much more easily and in a shorter period of time than someone who's in the private rental market and goes through the real estate agent? Is it about a week that you can be given? Is that right?
It all rests on reasonable, and it all turns on kind of what might be considered a reasonable amount of time. Often that falls back to, you know, how often you would have paid your occupancy fee.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of, you know, if you're paying on a weekly basis or a fortnightly basis, that might be what the tribunal considers a reasonable amount of time, or what the, you know, the proprietor or the manager is suggesting is reasonable. But we often saw much shorter time frames. And one of the problems was, while the Boarding House Act was trying to sort of build in flexibility, that flexibility worked much more for the boarding house operators and not so much for the residents in there. And so I think one of the key changes that we'd like to see, and I think that is being planned, is to have much clearer guidance around what appropriate notice periods would be. You know, what we're talking about is giving people enough time to make sure they can arrange alternative accommodation, so that's a roof over their head.